You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, troll on in.
Boy, am I glad we had the right opening, because this time we actually do get to troll right in. We've been talking a lot, and this is very important. You know, everybody knows, since we've been working with the council all these years, that it's a bottoms-up organization. And you, my friend, like me, are on the bottom. And they really need you to get a leg up on a whole bunch of stuff. So they have these things called scoping meetings. And you're going to find out all about what they are and how they work. Our two special guests in the program today, Zach Kamada, he's a fisheries analyst with the council. And also Dr. Mark Fitchett, he's a pelagic fish scientist. And we talk about ecosystems and everything else. And this is a wonderful opportunity for you to learn in advance on where to know more about this. And by the way, at the end of the day, whenever you need more information on this, what we're talking about today, you're going to be able to find on wpcouncil.org. That's wpcouncil.org. And big compliments to everybody at the council for all the work that's being done on the website, making it so much more user-friendly. Okay, so with that, we say hello first to Zach Kamada. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year. How are you?
You know, in the what you do as an analyst, I mean, we've always said, when I was a kid, when computers first came out, they had this saying called GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. You know, and I always thought that was pretty funny. You know?
Yeah.
But in actual fact, I need people to know how creative that everybody is able to be now because of this great way that we have to find data and to store it and to analyze it.
Right. It takes a lot of effort and a lot of time to get the garbage in, garbage out kind of thing.
Yeah, giggle. Giggle. Anyway, so for those that don't know, what would you say as a fishery analyst, what is it exactly that you do?
So right now, as a fishery analyst, I pretty much provide support to the council staff and to the council, providing information as to whatever they need. Mm-hmm. Right now, as what we're specifically looking at is at the Hawaii pelagic small boat fishery. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the main projects that me, Mark, and as well as Josh is working on.
Okay, and Mark Fitchett, PhD, we talk about that, and it just so happens that it's both our combined love that you happen to be. We're working right now on what we both like. And I'm not sure that the small boat fishing guys realize what an important piece of the puzzle that they are. You've mentioned this many, many times. So what is it that the scoping meetings are going to be about, and who should be coming?
Yeah, we're having it open to, you know, folks who, anybody really who's involved in the Hawaii small boat troll handline fishery. The importance, at least from my perspective, from the scientific and using scientific information to manage, is being able to monitor on a more of a timely basis catch per unit effort, which is used as an indicator for the performance of the Hawaii small boat fishery. We also need that information because not all the regions and not all the fisheries we have here are the same. They're not really mm-hmm. This troller in one area doesn't operate and necessarily fish the same way as a troller in another area. And we also have different groups and different classes of fishers.
That's really interesting you say that.
And that data is needed, and we need better data. Mm-hmm. And better reporting to glean this type of information.
You know, guys, in my neighborhood, when we fish the East Oahu side, when you go out in the Molokai Channel and the backside of all that, the water's rough. And you get to Hawaii and you think, wow, this is really great. But you fish differently.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, you're going different speeds, different lures, all kinds of different stuff, right?
Yeah, there's aspects of targeting. There's more of a propensity to catch one species and catch more volume. Also, the amount of volume that is brought in from many of these fisheries is not the same from one region to another.
You always, I hear this, and I'm sure you do as well. Oh, it's not like it used to be, man. Before, you could put your boat in the water over here, you go out 20 minutes, you catch fish. You know, and now people are saying you got to go out 20 miles, not 20 minutes. Is there a discernible difference, or do you anecdotally still get from some of the older kupuna and stuff? Now we got plenty of fish. You just got to know where to go.
Well, from just talking to some of the fishers, you know, you get a mixed bag of those type of responses. You know, you have folks who fished here for a long time who say, well, I can catch fish. I know what I'm doing because these guys are really good mm-hmm. at what they do. But they will say that maybe they've fished a different way, or they've changed some of their methodology to avoid, whether it's depredation issues, whether it's just to target one species through another.
Yeah, that's really a good point. Yeah. Let me tell you what I've picked up along that same line since we've been doing this. And that is, a lot of times a guy will say, well, you know, when I first started fishing, my grandpa gave me all my lures. And, you know, when you take a look at lures now, some of them are pretty quaint and cute looking. You think, how could you guys ever catch anything with that? Because now we got lures that almost are fish. You know, I mean, they almost don't need to be able lines. So what a top. And the same thing holds true. And I guess maybe, Zach, you can come in on this one as well. Sometimes it's just the methodology to find where you've been. Like, we just finished a segment before you guys got here with Dean Tokishi from Kaho'olawe. And there's fishing permitted a couple of times a month, you know, off the island, 30 fathoms. And it used to be you didn't know if you were in 30 fathoms or not. Now don't you find that even these small boat guys, most of them have gear, they kind of know where they are.
Yeah. They have the...
It's different, isn't it?
Yeah, they have their the depth recorders and everything.
GPS, it's all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it used to be, Mark, with me, and I think we mentioned this when we first met a while back, and that was my grandpa used to say, well, you got to come to Cocoa Head, and I'm going to show you where this tree lines up with this peak. And then if you go out over there, that's where the moy hole is, you know? And I know that you still hear and see some of that stuff every now and again.
Yeah, and when you may have, you know, we look at, people like to look at catch rate as a trend in abundance, and sometimes it's a trend in catch efficiency. You mm-hmm. know, we've actually seen some increases in catch per unit effort in the last 10 years that could be attributed to perhaps more available fish that are passing through. It could also be due to the changing efficiency and the learning curve of a lot of these fishermen.
Okay, and then that's where this scoping meetings stuff comes in. You're talking about a learning curve. I keep telling you, go to wpcouncil.org, and you really need to do that. But I think we still need to know between Zach and Mark what exactly, how these things work. And most of them I know are happen at in the evening, which is it makes it convenient, and I guess maybe we should start reviewing that. But before we do, let's go again, Zach, with exactly what information you're trying to glean at these meetings, and who do you expect to get the information from?
Okay, so what we are looking for, as far as it goes, we're doing these scoping meetings on the small boat, the Hawaii pelagic small boat fishery. As far as it goes, we pretty much want everybody to come.
Which, when we say small boats, that's just everybody.
That's pretty much everybody. Yeah. You can even go down to kayaks, because we got everybody going all over the.
Some of these guys.
These kayak guys are like going out there. They're catching some big fish too. I don't know how they do it, but.
Hey, I got a guy that is a stand-up paddle guy out in my neck of the woods, and he goes out behind the reef at Waikai with his little hand line behind his. He's stand up and he's catching Papio and he's having fun.
Yeah. So as far as it goes for the scoping meetings, we have a bunch of concerns that we have in regards to the small boat fishery, mm-hmm. particularly the non-commercial fishery. We have concerns about the data stock, protected species, marine mammals, and then other things such as that we can kind of go more into depth on. But we have a series of 6 meetings around the islands, 2 on Oahu. We're going to start on Oahu, go around, take a tour, and then we're going to end on Oahu. Mm-hmm. So going over this schedule, we are planning to start our series of meetings in Honolulu at the Pier 38 conference room, and then we're going to go to Big Island on the Wednesday, February 5th, to the West Hawaii Civic Center. And then
these, by the way, are all in the evening, right? These are all.
Yeah, these are all going to be in the evening, so we don't, everybody can come.
Yeah.
We tried our best to find places that had a lot of parking and a lot of space for everybody to come to, because we want to hear your voice, and we want to display our concerns, and we want to know, what do you think? Because you're, as far as it goes, as you said before, Westpac or the council, we go bottom up. So what you say to us is going to really play a crucial part.
And, you know, winning you over will happen, my friends, if you go to these meetings. So we're going to tell you, Zach's going to tell you where they are and what places they are. They're of course, a great way to network and just see people you haven't seen for a long time. But one thing you said, Mark, earlier, which is pretty important, is that it used to take a pretty long time to have meetings and figure out some stuff and get some figures and put it all together. So by the time you try to put something into practice, it may be whatever's happening in that fishery could be superseded, could be changed, sometimes dramatically. Are we better at present time now because of these, the way you're doing these?
Well, yeah, and I think the way we've been able to generate reports here at the council on a timely basis For example, our annual SAFE report, which is used, we were able to get data from multiple sources, the federal, state, and put together these reports that are public mm-hmm. knowledge. They're for the public benefit, but internally, the ability every year to look at trends to make informed decisions on management is pretty. I would say it's a remarkable thing to mm-hmm. generate this information so fast within 1 year. So we're not yeah. dealing like in the past.
Yeah, that's you know, really to, quick. I'm glad you said that because that's a lot faster than it used to be.
So we have data that is generated within a year, and then we have a report that is cranked out. So you know, you have within 1 year of getting data and new information, we can actually use that information and have it and put it in a visual and usable format. In the past. For a lot of fisheries, even on the East Coast, you know, where you have continual reporting, when you have data, let's say from 2015 to actually implement any type of management based on those trends would mm-hmm. take you 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
and so,
I mean, yeah. In some respects, in some businesses, in some science branches, that's okay, but in some, it's not acceptable. Right? There's too many things can effectuate change.
And there's a lot of we've talked about in the past, Mike, with tuna fisheries here. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of volatility, and yeah. so these trends can change very quickly within a year or two. And so we need to be able to move quickly and get a better stream of data from all of our sources, whether okay. they're commercial or non-commercial.
And you know, maybe also, Zach, you can line out sort of what happens. I mean, I don't want people to say, oh, I don't want to go to this meeting because I don't know what it goes about. What's the format? What happens if I decide to show up at one of these?
So as far as it goes for what's going to happen is we're going to, you guys come in, we'll probably try our best to bring some snacks so you guys, mm-hmm. and it's kind of a hard time, and you know, it's dinner time, so we try to do the best we can, and then what we're going to do is we're going to let pretty much, there's going to be a presentation as to what is the council's management scheme for the for this fishery, and what is our concerns in regards to protected species, the stock status and data concerns, and then we also have social and economic issues that we want to display to the community, because as far as it goes, anything that we do affects everybody, and everybody is these fishermen as well, even though they may not be reporting, or mm-hmm. if they may or may not be reporting, this affects you in the long run, because we want to make sure that you know what's going on.
Yeah, and I think also, I mean, you know, we know flat for sure that a lot of these people are augmenting their family's income mm-hmm. with their little boats. But in many respects, sometimes it's just a guy who goes out the back of his car on his way home from work. He stops off to see if he can get some papillo to feed the kids.
Right.
You know, so it's not all, you know, big commercial guys. But I'm also want to guess you spend some time reassuring people that the information that you're gleaning from these scoping these meetings are not going to be weaponized. You know,
No, we're...
Yeah. that in the past, Mark, we talked about this. That was a concern in the past, right? With some people saying, hey, I'm not going to tell you any of that stuff. That's our secret.
Yeah, and it gets even more tricky when you're dealing with protected species issues yeah. and things like that, that we want to be able to help the fishery avoid problems. And that's sort of the main goal, mm. is to keep our fisheries fishing in a most effective manner.
Yeah, and that's really cool. So once again, Zach, so you know, when people first get in, snacks or no snacks, they're gonna get told what the purpose of the meeting is for, and maybe how they can participate. In other words, I know a lot of local people in particular, and I'm one of them, that sometimes I don't want to say anything while there's something going on. And I don't know if my remarks are even welcome, but it is a Q&A. I mean, once you do the presentation, that's when you expect we that are showing up to actually come up with our manao and start talking to these things.
Yeah, because, I mean, as far as it goes, it's all of our kuleana to yeah. make sure that we take care of our resources, right? Mm-hmm. As far as it goes, we have all of these things going on. I mean, I myself am not the most outspoken person, mm-hmm. but making sure that you voice your opinion, we're going to have chances we'll probably have other forms of communication that we can mm-hmm. actually get your opinion, because everybody's opinions and their voice actually matters, because we want to make sure that we consider everything, and we, you know, I can only think inside of my box. As much as I try to get outside of my box, mm-hmm. it's kind of hard to think. That's why we have different people
yeah.
have different point of views, say like my point of view as more of a community person, or mm-hmm. just being myself as compared to Mark here. He's more of a scientific, more data-based person. We have two different trains of thought.
Yeah, but sometimes it's when these thoughts happen, Mark, that you meet in the middle, right? In other words, the science of one thing and the current practice of a community, if they meet, all of a sudden the community leaders are able to say, you know what, we can actually do more of this in this area, or we got to do less of this so that we can come back tomorrow. Is that the kind of agreement that you're trying to find here?
Yeah, and it's and building off of what Zach's saying, you know, and we found this with the bottom fish mm-hmm. fishery, and it was a major improvement, I think, from the scientists' point of view as well as from a management point of view, is when you have these data coming in and you have this information, how to best explain it. And if you just, you know, give the best analyst the data and then lock him in a room and say, here, make something of this, make some sense of this, without talking with the fishermen and getting some information, well, you know, you're going to be barking up the wrong tree. I think, you know, you need to get input from the fishermen. I think this will facilitate the first step in getting the voice of the fishermen implemented, not only in just management decisions, but even before we get to that step on how we assimilate data and how we approach these things and how we can interpret it. And it all starts here, and
I can't relay, and why we want to do this with Mark and with Zach and with everybody at the council is, you know, we have utter trust in what they do, and I guess maybe, and I heard this way back when, I think it's not as big of an issue as it used to be, but, you know, every time somebody, like you said earlier, Zach, local, it steps up, really helps the decision makers, because nobody wants to make a decision that upsets a community or the ecosystem.
No.
But there is a road to go.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I like about this.
Yeah, that's the hard thing, because as being local person, local boy, I'm born and raised on Maui, now I'm on Oahu. But, like, you know, I care about this resource too, because I also take from this resource and I try to feed my family as well. Is we all want to make sure that we give back to the community, because it plays a very crucial part in our culture, our identity, and the people as Hawaii as well.
You know, Mark, now that these have been going on for a while, are they what you expect them to be? I know in the very beginning, nobody knew what to expect, so attendance was pretty pathetic, you know, years back in a couple of these things. But now, I guess when they see, hey, these guys are pretty good, and, you know, they seem to be willing to listen. Where are we getting with everybody?
Well, that's where we want to be. Mm-hmm. We want to be, and this is the first step, at least for the pelagic small boat fishery, to get everybody together. And moving on to what Zach said, I am not from here, from mm-hmm. Hawaii. I'm a scientist, and I look from a scientific point of view, but it is important to get that local knowledge and get that local voice mm-hmm. implemented. So I'm essentially make a little bit of public trust here mm-hmm. that, you know, if I'm working on this project and working on this, they're technically the fishermen are technically my boss,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and so they need
yeah.
to tell us how we need to for lack of better words, but we need to get that information in there.
We're lucky to have Mark, by the way, and I think mainly because you have this big appreciation and you love to eat these pelagic fish. So it's not as though, you know, you're not saying, you know, protect these things to the end. You're saying, how can we do this and do it the right way? Even though you're not from here, I remember from your background, you can share with us a little bit. It's not though you're from a foreign country. I mean, you sort of paralleled in some respects Hawaii.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from the Southeast. I'm from North Carolina originally, where we have
not a lot of surf there, by the way, gang.
There's some on the Outer Banks. Not like here though. Yeah. But like where I'm from, you know, fishing is a huge part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
In Eastern North Carolina, one of the major sources of sustenance of the people there is fishing. We have a large commercial fishery. Most people don't understand on the East Coast, on the Southeast, mm-hmm. North Carolina has some of the most. And we also have a large fishery for non-commercial. And so mm-hmm. when fisheries management issues have been very complicated because, you know, a lot of the local folks mm-hmm. don't necessarily like folks in Washington and in Raleigh telling them how to manage and how they should fish. And
I think we know that about here too.
And it's just the same here. But yeah. You need to have a little bit of trust in the mm-hmm. process. So these sort of pouring of the scoping meetings is to get the voice of the fishermen. And I can empathize with that because I've seen, you know, things go very wrong mm-hmm. when you don't have these type of meetings and these type of dialogues.
I do know one thing, gang. When you go to wpcouncil.org and follow up on some of this stuff, we are just hoping and praying all the time that our legislators, our Congress folks and our senators also do the same kind of research, because I do know sometimes, Zach, that especially being far away, when you said you're a Maui boy, I'm a Big Island guy, is, you know, you think that nobody back east knows any doesn't even know where we are, let alone know what our issues are. So this must be a great way to bridge that gap.
Right. We trying to bridge that gap and trying to get an understanding and then move forward, because as far as it goes, that's as far as the communication between us and the community and the congressman and everybody else, the community, the communication needs to be there, because if there is no communication, then it becomes,
you know, I know, Mark, and I know this, that since I've met you, that this is really making a bunch of steps in the right direction, because these little boat owners, particularly now, I mean, there was just a story out last week about the price of fuel and everything else, and it's we're paying way more than we want to pay for fuel, and that has a whole bunch to do with effort and where you can go and how much money you can spend. But I think that these folks want to have that feeling, if they come to these sessions, that you're going to be able to say, okay, this is a reality of what's hurting me or what's helping me. How are we going to work together? That's what I want to know.
And yeah, and you hit the nail on the head. And we also have, you know, another large pelagic fishery here in Hawaii. We have a longline fishery, which we are implementing electronic monitoring and electronic reporting. So we are going to be getting data coming in from them, and then getting some information to eventually help. And I think my vision 10 years from now is to have a means that we can, on a near real-time basis, be able to help or provide products to local small boat fishermen here on based on what they know, what's going outside of where they're fishing, come up with a product that will help them make informed decisions on when and where they should fish.
You know,
if it's better for them not
that?
To fish, because it is expensive. Yeah. There's a lot of money. I mean, a couple hundred dollars is a lot of money to put fuel in a boat and then go fish. Yeah. And then we're dealing with the price, you know, for a fish there at the market. So there's a lot of variables at play.
Well, the interesting thing and why I sort of interrupted there was because I know from the other side of things that the Longline Association and the Longline Fish is much easier to track and make data out of, because most of it is sold through the United Fishing Agency. Most of it goes through the block. So therefore, the funnel of where the fish is caught and where it goes and where it sells is pretty easy to track. But don't we have some real mysteries in the small boat fishery? Because sometimes we're not sure where any of that fish goes.
Yeah, and that's one issue, but I think the heart of the issue is reporting and getting information on catch and effort, ultimately. And that's why you're able to make more informed management decisions there, and you're able to provide better products, at least scientific products, because you have a better data stream. But we here in Hawaii, we have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of small boats at any time that are fishing, getting some information on, you know, on effort and performance is
very blown away. And it's little things. And I guess maybe Zach on this one, because I remember when I was a small kid up on the Big Island, it was really hard to find ice. There was only a few places where you could really get ice, unless you made it like a lot of us did back in the day with the dairyman's milk cartons. You fill it with water, you put it in the freezer, you make your own box of ice. But now these guys are getting together, and they go co-cool with each other, and they buy an ice maker, you know, and they buy an 800-pound ice maker. So a lot of these guys, it's not just fishing for fun, these small boats. It's fishing because they got to eat, or they got to make a supplement to their income.
Right, right, right. As far as it goes for when I go fishing or when I go diving or whatever, as far as it goes, first comes first is I got to make sure I got to survive, right?
Yeah,
I got to eat. I mean, you know. As hard as it sounds, is I'd rather catch my fish than buy my fish, because
all of us feel like
it's out there, but we have those people out there that can't go fishing that like to eat fish, so we want to make sure that's provided. But main things first is we have our subsistence.
Yeah, and, you know, Mark, in your neck of the woods, growing in the areas, is it pretty much the same? I mean, look, if you're a good fisherman, you're expected to fish, and somebody else that's growing some good wheat's gonna, or you know, corn's gonna give you corn, you're gonna give them fish. Is it the same there?
Well, you know, prior to, well, they used to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
There was barter.
Back in the day, we all did that.
They switched. People would switch, you know, swap crabs and scallops or oysters for actual fish. Mm-hmm. You know, we had finfish fisheries, although we have also a pretty big shellfish fishery. As far as agriculture products, that did happen. Nowadays, not so much. I think it's more of a cash fishery and more of a subsistence fishery. So back there, but I can imagine here for sure that's probably still happens.
Okay, before we run out of time, Zach, let's review once again the scoping meetings, where they're going to be and when. I want people, once you hear what island or what place, what day, write this down and commit it to memory, or go to wpcouncil.org and learn a little bit more. But let's talk about the first of these is on the 4th.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to have a series of 6 meetings. The first one is we're going to start on the 4th, Tuesday, February 4th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Pier 38 in Honolulu. Our second one will be on Wednesday, February 5th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the West Hawaii Civic Center in Kona. It's going to be in the Community Meeting Hall Building G.
Mm-hmm.
The next one after that is Thursday, February 6th, so it's going to be following the Kona meeting. February 6th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Aunt Sally's Kaleohana's Luau Hale. There's going to be plenty of parking and a lot of space for us over there. Mm-hmm. And then the following week, on Monday, February 10th, we're planning to have, from 6 to 8 p.m., we're going to have our meeting on Maui at Lihikai Elementary at their cafeteria. Tuesday, February 11th, from 6 to 8 p.m., we're going to be on Kauai at the Chiefest Makahele at middle school. And then we're going to wrap it all together on Thursday, February 13th on Oahu in Kaneohe at Ben Parker Elementary School.
Okay, now the opportunity to speak and all of that is going to be pretty good. Do you need to have anybody pre-registered if they want to? And obviously, it's going to be a little bit different in each place because all of our fisheries are a little bit different. But the way the meeting goes through is pretty simple. Presentation and then Q&A.
Yeah, pretty much for the most part, we're going to have our presentations and then we're going to have our discussion Q&A to allow the fishermen and the community to voice their opinions.
Okay, now let's find out the end use of this, Mark. At the end of the day, when you've done all of these meetings, where is this information then going to be available, and what is its use to you as the pelagic scientist?
Well, as a scientist, well, the first part from that point of view, when you're looking at the intersection of management and science, we're interested in seeing how receptive or reticent the community is to providing a continual flow of information, mm-hmm. as far as data reporting, as well as the looking into how we're going to manage the fishery in the future. So I think as far as getting what kind of information we can get on down the line and expect in the future for fishery performance information and catch reporting, I think also getting information on estimating the participation between our commercial small boat and non-commercial, and that is very important for us.
Yeah, even though it's a gray line sometimes here.
Yeah.
It's pretty much you are able to categorize and pretty much figure out where somebody should be.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of what we want to look at and get a better information on estimating that level of participation either now and then also how we can look at data that we've had in the past and take the next step on how.
Okay,
we can
now if you are driving down the street or didn't hear us, don't forget that you can get this information at the council website, wpcouncil.org. And we're going to come back. Next time, we're going to talk to these guys again about not just this scoping meeting, but some of the other ways that you can participate and be a part of the solution. And that's kind of what we're always interested in here. And that being said, let's talk a little bit more about how you can jump in and find it out. You go to wpcouncil.org. That's wpcouncil.org. And how kind of that. This is free, by the way. You can have a little cow-cow and a lot of good communication, we hope. Big thanks to our friend Dean Tokishi from the Kahoolawe Island on their trolling weekends. Always nice to hook up with our buddy Stan Wright from Let's Go Fishing and Hawaii BassFishing.org. Okay, don't forget, WP Council. That's where you can find us. We'll see you next time. Have a good day.